Morning. I want to thank you for being here this morning. Is that early I see back there? Welcome back. Good to see you. I'm excited to have you back. Confidence. You know, we all have confidence in certain things, do we not? Yeah. I'm pretty confident that if I go over and start my car, it's going to start. I have confidence that it's going to run without issue. But then, when things happen, when things go wrong, when things that are out of our control many times come upon us, do we not lose confidence sometimes? But what about losing our confidence in the Scripture? What do we do when we lose confidence in God's Word? Now, how shocked would you be if you received a phone call or in a face-to-face meeting with a child or a grandchild who said, "Mom, Dad, I just simply feel that I need to let you know that I don't believe in the Bible anymore." You know, this isn't imaginary. For many, it's a reality. You know, in my life, and most of you probably know this, and I hate this cliche, but here goes. I was raised in the church. From far back as I can remember, I was made to go to Bible class, worship, Sunday night, and on Wednesday. The only time that I did not go is if I was sick, or if my parents were sick and I couldn't get there. As I got older, my confidence kind of waned, because my confidence and my faith and what I thought I believed was based on what my parents made me do. How many of you could say the same thing? That because when you were growing up in your family, your mom and your dad basically drug you by the back of the neck to church. Now, I see several people shaking their head. It's not uncommon. But you know, as we got older, because we truly did not have the faith that we needed within our own selves, our confidence in Scripture became very weak. And perhaps we left for a while. But then, like the prodigal son, we came to our senses and started to realize that our family, our mom and dad's dragging us to church service every time the door was open was actually what we needed. It's a crisis when a Christian loses confidence in the Word of God. It's a crisis because The Word of God is the foundation of our entire faith system. But this crisis is not unique to our generation. It happened long ago. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You know, Satan didn't really change a lot. But Eve, at this point, after seeing what God done in the garden and what God gave them in the garden, maybe she lost a little bit of confidence in what God said. And we know what happened. She partook of the fruit and she gave to her husband, and he did eat. So this morning I would like for us to answer the question of what do I do when my confidence in Scripture is lost or becomes weak? Skepticism arises from all types of avenues, does it not? And I believe that one of the greatest is the academic skepticism. You know, you take your child and you raise them to be godly people. And it's our prayer that when they finally come to realize that they're sinners and they need their sins washed away and they become Christians. But then, because of what's taught in the school, and especially in college, we send them off and we hope that their confidence in the Bible, in God's Word, remains strong. But too many times, because of the professors claiming that God does not exist, because if he did, then this and this and that would not take place, or this or that would happen. You know, how many times have you heard someone say, I simply cannot believe in a God who would let a small child suffer? Or yet they're teaching in these classes that the earth is billions and billions of years old. Where the Bible teaches us that God created all things in 6 days, not 6 billion years. Or they're teaching about this, you know, Big Bang theory, that all of a sudden nothing exploded. And when we hear these things from the academic professors, you know, they're smarter than we are, so we have to believe them. And then the teaching of our Bible class teachers, well, they're just so, you know, narrow-minded. It's all about the Bible. But what about science and all the things that taught in academia? Cultural hostility towards biblical morality. Society is what dictates morality. You know, when I was growing up, and probably most of you that's around my age probably can remember this same thing. You very, very, very seldom heard about homosexuality. You probably didn't even know one. You probably didn't even have an idea of what it was. But today, in today's society, in today's morality, that's all you hear. It's difficult for especially young people that's facing all of these challenges every day of their lives when they hear it in school, they hear it on the street, they hear it from their friends. It's hard many times for that young person to keep his confidence or her confidence in the Word of God because they're bombarded so heavily every day. If you don't believe me, check out social media. And you know what I'm talking about. And then there's a process that's been called faith deconstruction. Faith deconstruction is a process of reevaluating one's beliefs and removing the tenets or the parts of faith that they find they cannot reconcile it. Too many times, you know, people have a hard time reconciling, you know, what the Bible teaches and what they see in the world. So their faith, they start saying, well, you know, that doesn't make any sense anymore. How many of you have heard perhaps that, you know, well, you know, the Bible is so old and outdated that it needs to be revised. Revised to what? How in the world can we revise something that's perfect? Many times people will start doing away with things simply because in life we're taught the things that matter are things that we can touch, the things that we can see, the things that we can touch, the things that we can smell. Has anyone here ever seen Jesus? Physically? No. But we see who he is by the Word of God. But yet, because we can't see, we can't feel, we can't touch, maybe he wasn't real. So our faith, our confidence, and maybe what we've been taught from a very early age, we start to question. Now, while honest questions should never be feared, we should never be afraid of asking relevant, pertinent questions. But the process of demantling one's faith without careful thought, or even worse, with skeptical coaching. How many of you have perhaps friends or acquaintances, maybe even someone in your own family, who every time that you get around them, they start jabbing you about your Christianity? How can you believe this? That makes no sense. How many of you possibly have someone, even in your own family, who truly do believe that you're crazy? Because you believe in a, a dead Savior. We've never seen a person rise from the dead. So how can you know for sure that that actually took place? Faith deconstruction oftentimes places human judgment above divine revelation. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We cannot place our own think-sos, our own judgments above God's revelation. And I'm sorry, the one monitor over here is on the blink. You know, we're down one eye. Faith deconstruction often places human judgment above divine revelation. Also, those who undergo faith deconstruction are quick to listen to the skeptics. When we start questioning our faith, when we start questioning God's word, then we're more apt to listen to the skeptics. Those who are trying to get you to finally come to realize, you know, God's dead. Now, I didn't say God's dead. I'm saying the skeptics are saying that. Those who simply refuse to believe that there is a God. Those who simply refuse to believe that Jesus died and was buried and on the third day arose. Those who simply refuse to believe that baptism is for the forgiveness of sin. Christianity is many times viewed as old, tired, and suspect, and it needs to be rejected. So what does one do if we lose confidence in Scripture? You ever had a low point in your life where you questioned even God? Many of us have. But you know what? That's when we are at our lowest. That's when we need the confidence in God's word to keep from falling off even farther and totally deconstructing our faith. When our faith and our confidence is weak, we should not fear investigation of God's word. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, if we are truly sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts, I understand, God, that I'm going through some very tough and difficult times right now. I know things are not easy for me, but I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to lose faith. I know this is temporary, and I know that one day this will pass. We should not fear investigation. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15 through 16, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Did you notice this last part? The first part of it was to study. To study, to show ourselves approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, building our faith. But here's the things we must not do, or we should do. We should shun. I'm not going to go with that. Nope. But shun profane and vain babbling. You know, people that think they're in the know, they love to talk, don't they? But too many times what they say doesn't make any sense. Or too many times what they say is totally the opposite of God's word. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. The more we deconstruct, the farther and farther away we get. Now, I'm not talking about sometimes our faith may get a little weak. I'm talking about when we set aside God's word for what man has to say. You know, we need to ask perhaps a few questions. When our faith starts stumbling, let's ask ourselves questions and look for the answer where we know we will find the correct answer. Now, if you're having a difficulty in your life, whatever it may be, if your faith is weak, if you've lost a little bit of your confidence, let me ask you this. Have you personally studied the issue? Have you personally studied the issue, that the problem that you're having? Proverbs 18 and verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just. You know, he who trusts in his heart is a fool. But his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. That word there, search, literally is to explore, to search out. If we're having difficulties, if we're having a weak faith, or our confidence has gotten low, then go to someone you know and trust. And help them, along with yourself, to search out, to explore answers in God's word. But you know what? For many, they've not studied the issue. If they did, then we would not have a problem with homosexuality. Romans chapter 1, 24 through 32 talks about women going against nature with women, and men going against the natural use of women for men. If that's not speaking about homosexuality, I don't know what is. And it condemns it. But you know, there are even those in the homosexuality world who claim and profess with a smile on their face that Jesus Christ himself was gay. I'll leave it at that. Do we recognize the difference between difficulties and contradictions? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction. You know, unlearned, literally ignorant, because they refuse to study. They refuse to learn. And it talks about unstable, being weak. You know, when Peter here talks about the things that basically Paul, some of the things Paul writes is hard to understand. But that doesn't mean you can't. All you got to do is study. Ask someone who might know more answers than you do. Let me ask this. If your faith has gotten weak and your confidence has gotten low, have you sought wise counsel? Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. The word there, counselors, in Hebrew literally is someone directing, steering, guiding. It's not sitting there working out your life problems, but giving you the direction that you need to be going in. Then look at Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Are your doubts morally motivated? John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Condemnation, judgment. Are our doubts morally motivated? Is our confidence in the scripture, is it lost simply because we are trying to be morally motivated? We want to be morally right in the world's eyes. You know, go with the flow. Have you distinguished between scripture and human failure? Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I don't care who it is. Paul tells us that there is no one righteous. No, not one. We're righteous by the blood of Christ, not in our own selves. If you love Jesus, are you struggling with Scripture? I would advise you to follow the footsteps of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4. You can read chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. It talks about Jesus being led into this up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Remember what took place? And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. But what was Jesus' answer? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then you can go on down. The devil takes him up to the holy city and setteth upon the pinnacle of the temple and say, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and so on and so forth. What was Jesus' answer? It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then Satan didn't give up. Takes him to an exceedingly high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world. If you but fall down and worship me, all of this I'll give to you. So doesn't that show you who was the owner of the world? And Jesus said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Jesus viewed Scripture as the authoritative guide for his life. If our faith is weak, if our confidence is getting weak, then we need to understand that it is God and God's Word alone that will give us strength and courage to face whatever the world throws at us. So, how's your faith? How's your confidence? If you're here and you need prayers for whatever the reason, we'd ask that you'd come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
What do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throne. Why?